Hello, and welcome to Why Family Based Solutions Podcasts. Today is the 8th of April 2019, and I'm Florence. In today's podcast, I want to talk to you about some of the evidence I've seen for the existence of the orphanage industry. In some of the blogs that were posted last year, I already made mention of so-called orphanages that were opened with the aim of making money of foreign volunteers or donors. I've actually seen evidence of this in real life on various occasions in various ways. So in this podcast, I would like to tell you a little bit more about that. I mostly came across that while I was still running my previous organization called Orphanage Projects. Through orphanage projects, I offered help to childcare institutions in the form of advice, training, and guidance. I never offered and I never gave any money to any institution. But most of the communication that I got from new institutions was about money. I would fairly regularly get emails or messages over Facebook contacting me, asking me to help an orphanage somewhere in the world. These emails came from all over the world. And pretty much without exception, all these emails asked for money, for funding, for ways of helping the poor children be taken care of. So my answer to these emails was always that I was willing and happy to help out in any way that I could through giving advice, training, and guidance, but that I would not and could not give any money. In 9 or even more than 9 out of 10 cases, I would generally not hear back from these organizations again because the money was literally the only thing they were interested in. In one case, I did actually get an email back where they said they understood that I couldn't give them any money, but could I maybe give them some advice on how they could make the children bring in more money? I respectfully declined to give advice on that as well, since exploitation of children was not really the kind of advice that I was looking to give. And the way these emails were written were almost always in a way to try and create guilt or sentimentality to stir up emotions in order to try and make people pay. So, for example, one of the emails I got described that they were an organization who took in around 60 children who had been living on the street. And they were asking for my help and asking for ways to buy food and get larger accommodation because what they had now was not big enough and the 60 children regularly went to bed hungry. Obviously, the objective of this email had been to make me tear up and grab my wallet and offer them whatever I could give. To make sure that these children did not go to bed hungry anymore. On me, it had a very, very different effect. I got very angry and I wanted to shout at the screen, "Why on earth would you take in 60 children if you do not know how to feed them? That is not a sign that I should help you. It's a sign that you should stop doing what you're doing because clearly you have no idea what you're doing and clearly none of what you're doing is to the benefit of these children." So these kind of ploys didn't tend to work very well with me. There was another category of organization, however. As I said, about 9 out of 10 people were never heard from again when it was clear that they weren't going to get any money. The 1 out of 10 turned out, in hindsight, still only to be looking for money. But they had decided to play the long game instead. So they emailed back saying that they accepted that I wouldn't give them any money and they understood, and that they would be very happy with any kind of help that I could give them. These places, after we had communicated some more and made some arrangements, I would go to visit to see what the situation was like and to see what kind of help and advice I could give them to improve their care system and to improve the quality of life of the children in the institution. And it turned out over time, and in some places it took a little bit longer for it to become clear than it did in other places. But over time, it did become clear in pretty much all of these cases that the people running the institution had hoped that once I came over and once I saw the lovely, cute, poor children, and once I saw the conditions in which they were living, I would surely be willing to either hand over my own money or persuade other people to hand over their money to this organization. In one instance, I was asked to come over and I was assured that they weren't looking for money. They would be very happy with my advice, and they were looking to maybe start another institution, and they wanted me to come and see what things were like and how I might be able to help. When I went there, I got to spend almost no time with the children. I was given a brief tour of several children's homes, as they called them, but my time really was taken up completely with the management of the so-called orphanages and being told the stories of the terrible, terrible background of the children and the huge sacrifices made by the people running these places. The entire time that I was there, over the course of a few weeks, not once did they outright ask me for money, but it was more than clear that they were trying to pull out every sob story they could think of to try and persuade me, to try and make me come up with the idea on my own that I would want to give them money. I did not really let on that I understood what they were doing. I listened to all their stories. I agreed that they were terrible situations that they were describing, and just left it at that. And I also, at times, tried to give them information about the things that I had seen around the so-called orphanage on how they could make improvements to the quality of life of the children and to improve the chances of decent development by the children. But it became clear to me quite quickly that they were not at all receptive to any information or help, the kind of help that I was willing to give. They, with increasing desperation, continue to bring story after story after story on how they had sacrificed themselves and how the children had been taken away from their family from a very, very poor and underdeveloped part of the country and brought to the city, and how they were now much better off and had a beautiful future ahead of them. This was not something that I was willing to engage in at all. And if there had been any doubt at all, which in my mind there was not, but had there been any doubt that this was just about getting money, that doubt would have been erased in any case on the last day when two separate things happened, which confirmed that it was all about the money. The first thing that happened was I had happened to come across an article saying that UNICEF was planning to start a new project in the country in the exact region that these people had been describing to me, to make sure that there would be education available there and healthcare. And the lack of education and healthcare were exactly the two points that had been brought forward to me again and again of why it was so important to take these children away from their families and their villages and to bring them to the city where they would have access to these things. So when I visited again on the last day, I brought up the fact that I had seen that, and I asked them if they didn't think this was wonderful news that things would be developing and that it would no longer be necessary for children to be taken away from their families and their villages, and that they could have these things at home instead. The first reaction I got from them was that it was probably not in the actual area where these children were from, because that area was so backward that nothing ever happened and no one ever went there to help anyone. So I pointed out that generally speaking, UNICEF actually tends to go to these areas, the areas that are least developed and where the impact of their help is the greatest. They hummed and hawed at that, and generally speaking, it was very clear that they did not think this was good news at all. For them, it endangered their enterprise. If there was healthcare and education available in the villages, it would take away their excuse to the outside world for taking these children away from their families. Plus, it would quite likely make it much harder to persuade families to give up their children and to send them to the city to get education and healthcare. So to them, it was more of a blow than a good news story, clearly. The other thing that happened the same day before I left was that while they had never asked me for money directly, before we said goodbye, they did ask me if maybe I had Christian friends and if I could ask them to send money or to come and visit. So yes, it was all about the money. Unfortunately, in places where money is really the only objective, there is also a big impact on the conditions for the children, because the well-being of the children is not one of the things that is very high on the list of priorities. The getting of the money is much, much more important. So in a place where I was shown around several quite small so-called orphanages, all of them filled with children who had families, and this was acknowledged, even though they did kind of call themselves orphanages still. All these places had between 6 and 16 children. Usually they were run either by a couple or a couple who had their own family, and in one case a single man, but his parents were there as well. So theoretically, with these low numbers, it would be much easier to create a kind of family type home for these children, where the children, even though it's more children than you would usually have in a family, maybe still the number is so low with several adults around that you could create a kind of small group home where there still could be a real family environment, which could help the children thrive despite the fact that they were not growing up in their own families. Unfortunately, despite the potential of this, that was not at all the case in these places. What I saw was places where children had been brought to in order to get donations from foreigners. They were given food and they were sent to school, but that really was as far as the so-called care for these children went. Other than that, they were just tolerated in the sense that they were there and they had better not get in the way. Plus, the teenage children were made responsible for every chore around. They did the cooking, the cleaning, they took care of the smaller children, So it was really more of a situation of exploitation than of care. And what I also found striking was that one or two of the homes where I'd been had only been running for about 2 years. So these children had not left their families very long ago yet. And in these places, even though the children were quite withdrawn and downcast, once I got to spend a little bit of time with them, if I talked to them and I made eye contact with them and I smiled at them, I would get a response. I would see a little twinkle in their eyes, and they were still there, you could say. They were still really engaging. I could reach out to them. They were retreating into themselves, but it was still possible to reach them. Unfortunately, in some of the other places that had been running longer, and particularly in the ones that had been running for more than 4 years, the children had completely withdrawn into themselves, and I was not able to reach them anymore. Even making eye contact, even speaking to them directly, and trying to engage them. They were there, they were polite, they nodded, but I could not make a real connection. It was not possible to engage them anymore. They were too withdrawn for that. So that was quite sad to see. And it is one of the things that is not uncommon in orphanage industry institutions. Another aspect of the orphanage industry that I've come across is the homes that are set up for voluntourism. In one particular home, they always had some volunteers around, usually three or four at any given time. And the volunteers were there for varying times, and one would come and the other one would go, and it would just move around like that all the time, but there were always volunteers there, and the volunteers would always bring money with them that they had done some fundraising for before they came, or they would bring supplies with them, or something would be brought into the home with all of the volunteers. One of the things I saw happening in this place was the dependence on the money brought in by donors and volunteers was so great that the management of this place essentially did not feel they had any financial responsibility for the care of the children. And this was a pretty big orphanage. They had a lot of children. At one time while I was there, this was also a place where they said they wanted my help, but where it clearly turned out later on that they had hoped to get some money out of me. And during one of the visits I made there, the manager let me know that she had received an email from a previous volunteer. This previous volunteer was still giving money. She was still paying for some of the school tuitions for some of the children. And she had sent an email that she had heard from another volunteer that the hygiene situation and the diet still left a lot to be desired. And this was perfectly true. I had seen that myself. It was hard to miss when you visited this orphanage, so-called. But the manager became extremely angry. As she was telling me about this email, she got worked up more and more. And in the end, she raged and she said, "But last December, we had nothing. We had no money. We had nothing to give to feed the children. There was nothing. There was no food. And did she give extra money for that? Did she pay for that? No, she didn't. So why is she sending this email now?" This manager did not feel any responsibility towards the children. It was clear that in her mind, the volunteers were the ones who were supposed to be taking care of the children, both financially and practically, and If there was anything wrong with the care of the children, it was supposed to be taken care of by these volunteers, whether practically or financially. That's a very, very dangerous state of mind to be in when you have the actual responsibility for the care of several dozen children. So these are some of the examples of what I have seen in real life about the orphanage industry and the effect that it has on the people running the so-called orphanages and on the children. Thank you for listening, and keep educating yourself on how to help, not harm, vulnerable children, so we can continue to move towards family-based solutions for all children.